live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks. Hi, welcome to the Young Turks. Jake Ugrand experiment with you guys on a, I like to say, lovely Thursday afternoon slash evening. I hope it is lovely around where you live, although not a lot of things are lovely these days. This is Trump's America. That's a story we'll get to later in the show. Did I already say Jake Ugrand experiment? I think it's fairly clear. One of my favorite things of the week is happening tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern. Twitch.tv/TYT. I'm doing Between Me and Uger, a super fun show where we dive into people's lives and learn great things. If you missed Arian Foster last week, you got to sign up to be a member on Twitch to make sure that you check that out. That was amazing. I wrote down a whole bunch of things he said so I wouldn't forget it. That's how good it was. Alonzo Bodden's on tonight. Can't wait to find out more about him. What he's been up to lately, and of course, how he got started. All right, so that's coming up tonight. But we have breaking news right off the top of the show. Casper, take it away.
Yes, we do. All right. During a briefing today, Donald Trump made clear that he intends to cancel the Jacksonville, Florida portion of the Republican National Convention. He explains in a little more detail in the next video. Let's take a look.
And people elected me to help and to protect. So I told my team it's time to cancel the Jacksonville, Florida component of the GOP convention. We'll be starting in North Carolina for the Monday, as has always been planned. We were never taking that off. That's remaining as it is. The delegates are going to get together. That's where they do their nomination. So the delegates are going to North Carolina, and they'll be doing the nomination. And we're going to do some other things with tele-rallies and online the week that we're discussing, which will be really good. I think we're going to do it well. And I'll still do a convention speech in a different form, but we won't do a big crowded convention per se. It's just not the right time for that. I care deeply about the people of Florida and everywhere else, frankly, in this country and even in the world, who would be coming into the state, and I don't want to do anything to upset it. They'll be doing very well very shortly. We're going to put some maps up of the country behind me, and you'll see that the area that we're talking about is a hot spot.
So one thing that will happen in North Carolina is that delegates will still gather in North Carolina and formally nominate Donald Trump for re-election. Before he made that statement, he made sure to preface it by arguing that there is great demand to still hold this in-person convention in Jacksonville, Florida, but that he needs to do the right thing and do what needs to be done in order to prevent the spread of coronavirus, especially in a hot spot like Jacksonville, Florida. But the reality is, Cenk, that there was actually polling showing that the people living in Jacksonville, Florida were not in favor of holding this convention. They either disagreed with it or strongly disagreed with it. One of the surveys was done by the University of North Florida, and it found that 58% of Jacksonville residents did not agree with holding the convention. And the Duval County Sheriff, his name's Mike Williams, he also recently spoke out and said he had significant concerns about holding the convention in Jacksonville, Florida, in the middle of this pandemic. So there actually wasn't great demand, but of course he needs to tell himself and the rest of the country all these little lies to make it seem like he's doing the heroic thing by canceling the Jacksonville, Florida portion of the convention.
So is Herman Cain still alive? Because he got coronavirus at Trump's Tulsa rally, as did apparently a number of people. And COVID cases did spike after that rally in Oklahoma. So should the good people of Jacksonville be concerned about a super spreader event? Of course. So Florida now has record number of cases. It's one of the worst hit states. So they'd be nuts not to be concerned. And you shouldn't underestimate these large gatherings. They are apparently the single most, best indicator of spreading the disease. And so I guess that's not overall that surprising. I think that when I read the study on it, I was surprised by the magnitude of the impact that these big crowd gatherings had, because it spreads like wildfire and then they all go home. They don't have enough time to do contact tracing because there's now a backlog on tests. You get the results, 7 to 10 days later. By that time, everybody's already spread it everywhere. So of course they should do this. But I will say, to be fair, I just looked it up to refresh my recollection. It appears that the Democrats have not yet canceled their version of this. So they told the state delegates to stay home. So that's part of the precautions that Democrats are taking. They limited the number of media that is allowed. Obviously, of course, they immediately said progressive media is banned. They didn't approve our credentials. Of course, we're one of the largest news networks in the country, but God forbid that they should work with us. Anyway, back to the point, and more importantly, as far as I can tell, based on the latest reporting, Joe Biden is still planning to give a speech in Milwaukee. So Trump does jump ahead of him on that. So nicely done on that, and the Democrats are still not sure. So if you're going to be mad at Trump for taking this long to cancel it and say, of course, that they should cancel it in Jacksonville, you should say the same of Democrats.
Right. I mean, look, I'm not mad at Trump simply because he took this long to cancel the convention. I mean, it's everything else that's led to the United States handling this coronavirus pandemic so poorly, especially considering how many resources we have as a country and how, we should be leading when it comes to the response to this pandemic. Donald Trump isn't doing this because he cares about the well-being of individuals. That's the reason why he decided to hold the Tulsa rally and other events following that Tulsa rally. And then later, when he realized that people weren't willing to show up and risk their lives, their health to be there, all of a sudden he switched over to these press briefings again, where he's pretending like he's doing it to talk about the severity of coronavirus. But I really think that he wanted to save himself from the embarrassment of holding this controversial rally in Jacksonville, Florida, and then seeing that the crowd is gonna be empty and embarrassing for him. I think that's really what drove his decision here. I don't think it has anything to do with public health or safety.
Yeah, well, it's a combination of things. They are making a turn towards, maybe less people dying might be a good idea. Maybe we wear masks 4 months after the virus started raging throughout the country, 3 months after we became the leading country in coronavirus cases and deaths. So this is a lot of too little, too late. I'm glad they're doing it. But Anna, I agree with you. Probably the number one factor was he's haunted by Tulsa and K-pop fans. And so he's probably thinking, I can't handle, my ego, my insecurity cannot handle another half empty, two thirds empty stadium.
Yeah, Absolutely. So we'll fill you guys in on decisions by the DNC soon. But you're right, Cenk, so far, and I checked for myself as well, it seems like they're still planning on holding an in-person event in Milwaukee. All right, let's talk a little bit about what's been happening with these federal agents in Portland. Unfortunately, federal agents continue to escalate violence in Portland, Oregon. And in an updated story, it appears that they've even sprayed tear gas into a crowd that included the mayor, Ted Wheeler. We have a video showing what that scene looked like. Let's take a look. So in the early morning at around 12:30 a.m., the local police department announced that people needed to disperse because they declared the protest a riot. Shortly after that, the federal agents started using the tear gas. And as I mentioned, Ted Wheeler, the mayor, was in that crowd. And so he talked to the press about what that experience was like and answered questions about whether anyone in that crowd of protesters did anything to provoke that kind of response. Take a look.
I'm not gonna lie. It stings. It's hard to breathe. And I can tell you with 100% honesty, I saw nothing that provoked this response. It's nasty stuff. I'm not afraid that I am pissed off.
What are you pissed about?
This is a egregious overreaction on the part of the federal officers. There was nothing that I saw in the video that warranted this reaction. And all it's doing, as you can see, it hasn't stopped us yet. They fired munitions, they fired tear gas. All it's done is piss everybody off even more. Sure. It's made people angry. They've come in and they've cooked a hornet's nest.
Sure.
So he was very clear there in stating that no one in the crowd did anything to, provoke that kind of reaction from the federal agents, the use of the tear gas. And by the way, Cenk, one of the Portland protesters told ABC News, quote, "I think it's giving him a little sampling of those of us who have been out here. This is the first time I've ever seen a mayor or any public official be in the depths of what's going on." And I think it is important for elected leaders and local politicians to be out there with the crowd to really get a firm sense of what's happening. Because what we keep hearing from the Trump administration, from the local police, and from these federal agents is that these protesters are violent and they're unruly and they're causing violence, but really the violence begins the second the federal agents get involved and start using these types of weapons against them.
So I'm right there with you. I can't remember the last time I saw a government official inside a protest that was real enough that he got tear gassed or attacked by forces. And so partly because the police report to the mayor normally, so they'd be a little reluctant to attack the mayor. But in this case, it's federal secret police. So they don't care about mayor, governor, or anything. They don't care about the law. Democratically elected officials, who cares who you think your representative is? We're the secret police. You don't even know who we are. What difference does it make? There's no accountability. And Trump told us to gas you guys, so we're gonna gas you guys. And so this is insane. Look, in terms of his reaction, I love that he was in there because he seemed genuinely surprised. Because I think officials are used to not believing regular people, let alone protesters.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Those are the people that they believe the least of all. And so when they see it with their own eyes, if they could open them long enough, yeah, he had goggles on, so he could see better during the tear gas. When they see it with their own eyes, then they go, oh my God, they weren't lying. This is the same thing that happens with black folks in this country. When people actually see it with their own eyes, they're like, oh my God, every black person in the country wasn't lying. Yeah, of course. Of course they weren't lying. But the media has trained us on this too. People who are officials are correct. Everyone who doesn't have power is not to be believed. And so I love that he saw it for himself so he could believe it. And now finally, the last part that's confusing here is Portland police at 12:30 gave the announcement that it was officially declared a riot. But then federal forces fired the tear gas. Portland police are not allowed to use tear gas by court order. So I thought the coordination had ended. So what happened there?
Well, let me give you some more details on that, because there's no question, and we've talked about this in previous stories, that the local police department, the police union representing the Portland Police Department, has been colluding with these federal agents. They asked for the federal agents to step in, and unfortunately, that's what we're seeing happening now. And so the Portland City Council did recently vote to make it clear that the Portland Police Department is not to work with these federal agents in any way. Let me read you the wording here. The measure orders all members of the Portland Police Department to stop giving or receiving operational support from officers representing the Department of Homeland Security, US Marshals Service, Federal Protective Service, and Customs and Border Protection. Under the resolution, police are also banned from overseeing demonstrations alongside federal officers. And a federal judge earlier this month also issued an order exempting credentialed media members. I can't believe that this even needs to be a court order. Exempting credentialed media members and legal observers from threat of arrest after police declare an unlawful assembly, because that was also a trend that we were noticing in Portland, where the police would declare the gathering a riot. And then as reporters are doing their jobs, reporting on what's happening, some of them got arrested as well. And so that's why a federal judge needed to step in and say something about it.
Yeah, so they got to straighten this out. If the city council says the cops are not under any circumstances to work with the federal forces, and the mayor said that they are no longer working with the forces, and then they gas their own mayor, or go wink, wink, the riot has been declared, federal forces gas the hell out of them. There should be severe consequences for police that are not following the law. Now, there never is, because the cops are above the law. They can bring any law they like, and they'll always get away with it. That's why the police union head is going, yeah, what are you gonna do about it? So what? Yeah, I'm gonna help Trump, and you know, we're gonna coordinate. Well, somebody should tell him that there are, yeah, we are gonna do something about it. If they find any evidence that those cops again coordinated with federal forces after the city council told them not to, they should all immediately be fired. I know, oh my God, fire a police officer. How could you do that? Easily fire them and replace them with people who will actually do their job instead of tear gassing people like moms that are going out there to lock arms and protect people. Let me make two other clarifications. Ted Wheeler, the mayor there, was working with federal forces earlier, was allowing the police to work with federal forces earlier until the cameras showed up. Let's be clear about that. But I'm glad he switched over to the other side for political reasons or not. At least he's on the right side now, so that's good. But giving you context. And so at the end of the day, he's got to figure out, can he control his own police or can't he? And I agree with the DA in Philadelphia. If federal forces violate local laws, the police should arrest them. I know it's a recipe for disaster, but we didn't start this. Trump started it by bringing in federal forces. Those protests are now much larger than they were before Trump sent in his secret police. So he started the fire. Let's be clear about that.
You just reminded me of something that I've been meaning to mention on the show. And look, people might disagree with this, and I'd love to hear our audience's opinion on it, because it's an ongoing discussion. Strategy is important, right? And optics are important. And I was wondering if it would maybe be an even more powerful or more powerful imagery if we had these protesters actually carrying American flags. Because think about it, you have federal agents raining terror on people practicing their First Amendment right, people who are practicing free speech, who are not causing any problems, as Mayor Wheeler said in that video, who are not evoking any type or provoking these federal agents in any way. And imagine the imagery of all of these protesters practicing their constitutionally protected right, carrying American flags, and seeing these federal agents who are sent there by the Trump administration treating them the way that they have with this kind of brutality and violence. I don't know. I've just been thinking a lot about how we as people on the left who want justice, who want this society to change for the better, do need to think about the strategies and the optics of what we're doing. And so just something I wanted to put out there.
Yeah, look, I've been saying that for as long as Young Turks have been around. That's why the American flag is behind me. It's not their flag, it's our flag. And I love the imagery that you're talking about, because it kind of, like, if they're trying to start a civil war, let's be clear, we're the American side. You want to be the right Confederacy and name things after the Confederacy and carry the Confederate flag? Okay. And it's ironic now that the Confederates have captured the federal government after all these years. But we're the Americans. We're the ones who believe in American ideas and principles, including the First Amendment, right to free speech and right to assemble and right to protest our government for redress of grievances. So I love that. I think they should all be dressed up that way. And I love the moms out there, and I love them saying that they're real people. Now, is it going to completely deter them? Of course not. Like, we know that the veteran who was from the Navy who went out there and told them to just abide by their pledge to enforce the Constitution, they broke his arm and his hand anyway. And he had done nothing wrong. Well, you showed you the pictures. He was perfectly peaceful. But if you got veterans and moms draped in American flags, and then they're breaking their arms and cracking their skulls, well, that's a Selma-like situation, and I think that it helps us to clearly define ourselves as the ones defending American ideas. And look, I'll be honest too. We keep it real on the program. Are there some anarchists in Portland? I'm sure there are, right? Were there some people who had done property damage before? I'm sure. But was there an overreaction here? Obviously. Did it get any better? No, it's now gotten worse. Are most of the protesters now peaceful? The overwhelming majority are peaceful. So that's your full context. So I'm with you, Anna. We are the good guys. And we should show the symbolism of that, because the media is not very bright. You've got to, like, really deliver the message home and have them go, oh, turns out they like America. Okay. And I think that'll help a lot.
Well, when we come back from the break, we'll talk a little bit about what America is like under the Trump administration and how he loves to really own himself with terrible, not well played campaign ads. Stick around, we got that for you.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called Unf***ing the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of Unf***ing the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
and more.
All right, back in the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Let's go to our members as usual, tyt.com/join to become a member. Someone who likes Bernie Sanders wrote in, Trump gets no credit for canceling this event. Arsonists don't get credit for putting out their own fires. I am Sock writes in, I'm a little disappointed. I wanted all the old Republican mega donors crammed into a small room together.
Oh, they wouldn't have shown up. Like, let's keep it real. I mean, that was part of the reason why Trump decided to cancel it. I have no doubt.
Yeah. No, the Republican donors have no problem risking your life. Risking their life? Not gonna happen. Wicked says, the secret police should storm the White House, haul the real criminals out and throw them in the van. Give it some time. tyt.com/removeTrump. If he doesn't want to go after office, after he loses, we can sign up to remove him if the military or Secret Service doesn't. All right, Lunad Anya writes in, he's complaining about what Portland cops have been doing every night, referring to Mayor Wheeler. Others also weighed in on that on YouTube Super Chat, so let me give you that as well. Moore Barn wrote in, Wheeler has used his PPB goons to gas peaceful protesters for over 50 days. Don't be fooled. We call him Tear Gas Ted for a reason. Him being there was performative and hollow at best. So we gave you that context as well. And last one from YouTube Super Chat is the progressive linguist writes in, I teach in Jacksonville and a big gathering is the last thing we need. We're being forced back into schools in 3 weeks. Florida has around 30,000 pediatric cases right now. So yes, that is deeply concerning. Before we go on, let's check one more thing. That's our thermometer to see how we're doing. We're trying to raise money every month for this year to keep us healthy and sustainable. And so that we could build out a really strong progressive voice for you guys. So that next time we have important elections roll around, there's at least a progressive voice at the media table, which is not what happened this time around and cost us dearly. So tyt.com/go, and let's take a look at where we are. And it's at 113,559. We're trying to get to 200 by the end of the month. There isn't much time left till the end of the month. So this could be our first month that we fall short. But thank you to everyone who contributed, and let's please keep it going. All right, Anna, what's next?
All right, so Donald Trump is in a lot of debt, so it's very unlikely that he actually outright owns anything. But he does love to own himself, and that's the case with the latest campaign ad he put out. Let's take a look.
You have reached the 911 police emergency line. Due to defunding of the police department, we're sorry, but no one is here to take your call. If you're calling to report a rape, please press 1. To report a murder, press 2. To report a home invasion, press 3. For all other crimes, leave your name and number, and someone will get back to you. Our estimated wait time is currently 5 days. Goodbye.
Now, if that ad scares you and you wouldn't want to live in the type of country that would have those types of scenes of violence and destruction, you should probably vote Trump out of office because all of that footage happened under Trump's watch. In fact, all of the footage used in that ad was from March, and I'll give you those details. I'm sorry, May of this year, and I'll give you those details in just a moment. But also, one of Trump's campaign advisors, Boris Epstein, also shared a similar video, not that ad itself, but in that video, you see the violence and the destruction, and he says this would be Joe Biden's America. It's a very scary place, except it's happening right now, and it's in Trump's America.
Yeah, literally. And I want you to remember what he said during the convention. Because if you say, well, I mean, look, they're protesting the things that have happened recently, like police abuse. Yeah, well, Trump had 4 years to fix it, and he didn't. He actually loves when police abuse African American citizens. That's why after George Floyd, he's like, yeah, it's a shame what happened to George Floyd. But let's remember to protect the real victims here, the Confederate flag. and military bases named after Confederate heroes. So yeah, there's a reason why those things are happening. Even in the worst of, most of them are overwhelmingly peaceful protesters, but even the worst of the rioters and the looters are because of Donald Trump's complete and utter indifference to this issue. So that is Trump's America. But back then, when he was accepting the nomination, he said the crime and violence that today afflicts our nation will soon, I mean very soon, come to an end. Beginning on January 20th, 2017, safety will be restored.
Well, you know what, Cenk? Let's go to those images and like some screenshots of the video that was used in that campaign ad, which again were from May of this year, and we can just obviously rebut that ridiculous statement. So that's from Minneapolis in May of 2020, May 28th to be specific. It's an image from the night when a Minneapolis police precinct was burnt down. Okay, let's go to the next one. Another screenshot from Trump's ad. This is a shot of a liquor store that was set ablaze on the same night. Again, this is in Minneapolis, May 28th, 2020, when the president of the United States is Donald Trump. And then let's go to one more. It's an image of a window being smashed at a bankruptcy court in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And it was taken, this photo is from May 30th, 2020. So looks like he's, and by the way, he's a criminal himself. I mean, defrauded students with Trump University, used his own charitable foundation, which had to be shut down because he was utilizing the funds from that charitable foundation to enrich himself. He has violated the emoluments clause of our Constitution over and over and over again. He loves crime. He bathes in crime.
Yeah.
But he uses law and order as a dog whistle in a lot of ways.
No, not always. That's 100% right. And so the slogan is no justice, no peace. And that's almost exactly what's happened during the Trump era. There's been no justice at all. The real criminals at the top, Roger Stone and all the others, have been released from the jails. It's like a reverse Bane, where they just release all the white collar criminals and all the crooks at the top. And all of Donald Trump's friends, Michael Milken, Blagojevich, Democrat, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters, okay, except being Donald Trump's friends. So did, and then at the bottom, did any of us get justice? No, the police abuse continued. And what did Donald Trump have to offer us? More violence. And violence begets violence. So that's where we are today. And I'm going to go back one more time to his speech in 2016 while he was accepting the GOP nomination. He said, "Nobody knows the system better than me, which is why I alone can fix it." Okay, well, you've had 4 years to fix it, and apparently you're the only one who could do it. So what are you waiting for? The protests are larger. Also, different issue. Violence is on the rise. Well, you're not fixing it. Well, are you holding back? Are you holding America hostage until your second term and then you will magically fix it? Who could believe such preposterous things? He obviously is in over his head, doesn't know what he's doing, and everything he has done has been counterproductive and led to more violence and to what we see in that ad, which is Trump's America. And I'm gonna add one last thing. They mentioned rape there in the beginning and they punched that word to scare people even more. If you're reporting a rape, we will not be responding. Who are you kidding? The reason we have defund the police is because you aren't responding anyway. Only 34% of rape cases across the country are ever solved by our incompetent police. We want to defund them partly because we want to build a better police department that actually solves cases.
There was such a backlog of rape kits in the state of California that Gavin Newsom had to, pass some regulation that forces local police departments to just test the rape kits. So one of the biggest problems is that we are pouring resources into local law enforcement. And if you can make the argument that they're actually keeping people safe, that they're investigating the types of violent crimes that we're worried about, then that's one thing. But what we've noticed over and over again is obviously the brutality toward disenfranchised groups of people. And on the best day, just collecting regressive taxes through citations and traffic violations. And it just further pushes people into more poverty, when in reality, we need a better system that lifts people out of poverty. That's not what we're getting right now.
Yeah, you know. All right. And I want to be clear about what's going to happen in Trump or Biden's America after the election. There's going to be even more protests. And so the Democrats are, and the media are, under the illusion that, oh, don't worry, once we get rid of Trump, everything's going to go back to normal. And for them, normal is we rob you blind. Oh, our donors rob you blind over and over and over again, and advertisers. And so, oh, it's going to be back to heaven for us. No, it's not. People are pissed. Their wages are horrific and they have never improved. We still have no justice, and we still have the same terrible police that we had before. So trust me, even if Biden wins, yes, there will be a lot more protests. We're not anywhere near done with pitchforks. I wish we were. I wish we'd fix the system, but we didn't. So either way, under Trump or Biden, those protests will only grow.
Well, let's move on and talk a little bit about coronavirus stimulus, because it seems like there's some agreement between the GOP and the White House on how to move forward on this. So what will the next coronavirus stimulus bill look like? And are we even likely to get more financial relief in the middle of this terrible pandemic? Well, there was a little bit of a war between some members of the GOP and the White House. The Trump administration was demanding, a payroll tax cut, which would gut Social Security and Medicare. But it turns out that in this draft legislation that's been shared with the press, the White House has backed off on that a little bit, because there were members of the GOP who outright rejected that proposal. Now, here's what we know based on this working draft. It's likely to change, but it does not include a payroll tax cut. Again, this was a favorite of President Trump's, which administration officials backed away from amid tepid support from Republicans in Congress. Now, there's also no new money for state and local governments to plug budget holes and avert layoffs. But the outline notes that such funds are expected to be added in negotiations with Democrats, who have insisted on hundreds of billions of dollars. And let me just be clear on something. All the details that I'm sharing with you in this story today only has to do with what's being proposed by the GOP and the White House. So Democrats have not been involved in these negotiations yet. Now, it includes a substantial expansion of a program to aid small businesses, relaxing the terms of a loan program designed to help them maintain their payrolls, and creating a new working capital loan to cover operating expenses. So remember, when we were discussing previous stimulus bills, we noticed that there was a different standard set for major corporations, which would get bailed out without any promise to keep their employees employed. Whereas these loans for small businesses would only be forgiven if the small businesses kept everyone on their payroll. Now it appears that in this upcoming legislation, Republicans want to do away with that standard altogether. Now, it also includes $25 billion for coronavirus testing, which is fascinating because, as you guys can recall, Trump actually wanted to cut funding for that earlier. $26 billion for vaccine research, distribution, and use. $1.3 billion for workplace training on social distancing. Okay, let me stop for 1 second. Why is it so hard for people? Like, why do you need training programs? Like, why are people so dumb? Like, that's the thing that I can't get past in this country. Wear a mask, stay away from one another. Like, it's simple. It's not that hard, but okay, fine, whatever. They're allocating money for that, great. $15.5 billion for NIH labs and research, $25 billion for the hospital provider fund. And look, they're also allocating $4.5 billion for mental health, suicide prevention, and overdose response programs, which I think, great, let's do something about the symptoms of the system that we're living under. But maybe we should also focus on why so many people you know, have been committing suicide or have suicidal thoughts. I mean, there are so many things that contribute to that, and we never discuss the causes. We just discuss doing something about the symptoms. $7.6 billion for community health centers, $15 billion for childcare, and $105 billion for education. But there is a caveat to that. $70 billion of that money will go to grade schools, but Republicans made clear that out of that $70 billion, they want $10 billion to go toward private schools specifically.
Of course. So, first of all, I'm going to do something that you might not expect. I'm going to congratulate government officials and politicians, which we almost never do on this show because they almost never deserve it. But that PPP was one of the best designed pieces of legislation I've ever seen in my lifetime. It designed it so that if you let go of your employees, you don't get the money. And it was meant to protect employees, and it did. And so for Democratic leadership who helped design that, all the credit in the world. Love to give you credit when you're right. So now I bring that up partly because it's correct, and I've told you that before, and they should get credit for that. I also bring it up because that's the one provision they're taking out. They're like, you know what? I don't know what we were thinking getting something right. No, let's end that right away. Okay. So now, of course, it's different people because it was the Democrats in the House who insisted on that. This is the Republicans in the Senate that are taking it out. So that's a very important distinction. So which then leads to the second point. Understand who these negotiations are between. The Democrats are not at all involved yet. So this is Mitch McConnell asking Donald Trump to not be such an unbelievable jerk and idiot. Mitch McConnell, okay? He's like, look, why are you taking money out that would go to testing and tracing? Just how painfully dumb are you? The more testing and tracing we do, the quicker we can recover and the economy can recover and we could all get reelected. McFly, is anybody home? That's a reverse of Back to the Future characters. And then the second part is tax cuts. When Mitch McConnell throws up his hands and goes, really, more tax cuts? You know you've gone too far. So the vicious Senate Republicans had to talk Trump out of being even more vicious than them. Wow, we are in a sorry state in this country.
Yeah, definitely. And I also want to note that, you know, the Trump administration, Steve Mnuchin specifically confirmed everyone who qualified for that one-time $1,200 check will qualify again. They're not changing the terms of how people receive that check or whether they qualify for it. So I thought that the one-time check was one of the worst parts of the stimulus bill because of the fact that it tapered off after an income of $75,000. People might have made $75,000 last year, but a lot of those people have been laid off or have no income today. So I just think that, you know, means testing during this pandemic is stupid. And by the way, millions of people who qualified for it still haven't received the first check. But when it comes to the unemployment benefits, it remains to be seen what they're going to land on. But right now, it's not looking good. Republicans are offering a very small federal part of the unemployment benefits. Right now, it's $600 a week, and it's going to expire by the end of July. But if they implement a similar program, it's likely to be, based on what Republicans are saying, $100 a week as opposed to $600 a week. So we'll see how that plays out.
So I'm not surprised that the Republicans say, let's give the least amount to the people who need it the most and the most amount to the people who need it the least. Of course, they're Republicans. In terms of the media, this is where I constantly get frustrated, guys. This is why we tell you, man, we're not kidding. It's not an exaggeration. You got to support us because if there's no independent media voice, the mythology like this just takes hold. So tyt.com/go. So what am I referring to in this case? Every article refers to the Republican position as, well, you know, they really want to lower the unemployment benefits so people will go back to work instead of sitting at home milking off the government. They were fired. They were fired. This, none of this is voluntary. Yet every stupid reporter and editor parrots that talking point of the right wing without ever saying, by the way, footnote, none of these people went home voluntarily. They were all furloughed or laid off. So it's in every stupid article. So if you don't know anything about politics, people who are low information voters will read it and go, well, I guess the main problem in America is 30 million Americans just decided to go home and collect unemployment benefits. God, they're so lazy. So if that's what you think, then you might think the Republicans are right to lower unemployment benefits. But that's not remotely true. No one corrects it.
We gotta take a break. When we come back, I will share a story I promised to share with you guys yesterday. Matt Gaetz and some of the ethics charges against him. We'll be right back.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
All right, back in the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Don't forget, tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern, I've got Between Me and Uyghur. I'm talking to Alonzo Vaughn. Check it out at twitch.tv/TYT. It's going to be awesome. And then on August 3rd, we were showing a movie called Parkland Rising. It's actually a unique opportunity to see that movie before it gets released wide. It's going to be at August 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern, obviously, right here on tyt.com/live. We're partnered up with Abramarama, and they did this movie, and it shows you what the Parkland students did and their parents. And some of the stories are just heartbreaking, but also really, really hopeful. How they banded together right after the shooting and all the activism they did. So make sure that you check that out when we are on August 3rd at 7 o'clock. Okay, just time for a couple of quick comments here. I wish I could read so many of them. Anna, a lot of people loved your flag idea. Bernie for Senate Majority Leader writes in, amen, Cenk, we must keep fighting regardless of who the president is in 2021. We must use our voices to force change. I like how I said a lot of people agreed with Anna and then read one where somebody agreed with me. And then I'll read another one about me. Why not? Solomon Grundy says, I watched The Dark Knight Rises with my children today. Unfortunately, Cenk has done his Bane impression so many times that it's all I could picture when Tom Hardy was speaking. Cenk has ruined Batman. Well, you know why? Because
victory has defeated you.
Anyways, I'll just read one of dozens here saying, Imitation Asian wrote on YouTube Super Chat, Anna, my friend who introduced me to TYT 3 years ago, literally had the same idea just a couple of days ago about carrying the flags for the protesters. I messaged him in excitement and he said, I knew it was a good idea. But literally the other people wrote in saying Anna's idea on carrying the flags and wearing the flags in the protests is brilliant. And I totally agree.
Thank you. Look, and I don't want to take credit for that idea because I've been reading about optics and strategy. And so I've learned from others. And so I feel bad taking credit for it. But thank you. I'm glad that you guys like it as well. Let's move on to the story. You guys ready?
Yes.
Matt Gaetz, the Florida representative who also happens to be a Trump loyalist, happens to be breaking some ethics rules meant to safeguard against corruption and also conflicts of interest. So there was an investigative piece in Politico about this, and I want to share the details. For instance, they write that Gaetz concedes that he improperly spent $28,000 in taxpayer funds to a limited liability company connected to the speechwriting consultant, Darren Beatty, a former White House aide who was ousted after appearing at the H.L. Mencken Club Conference. Now, the Southern Poverty Law Center calls attendees of the conference a band of white nationalists, pseudo-academics, and academic racists. So I'm sure he fit right in. But it is surprising that the White House ousted him for that, because this is what the White House is all about. But nonetheless, once this guy was fired, Matt Gaetz decided, oh, I like this guy. Let me go ahead and hire him. Gaetz announced hiring Beattie as a speech writing advisor in April of 2019, but he was never added to Gaetz's congressional payroll, according to a House disbursement record. Instead, Gaetz paid him through a Wyoming-based LLC. Okay. Now, there are benefits, significant benefits actually, by staying off of the congressional payroll, because it doesn't limit the amount of money you could make outside of your formal job working as a speechwriter, right? Now, Gaetz's aide said that it was a clerical error. Keep in mind, taxpayer money is not supposed to be used for speechwriters. So Gaetz's aide said that it was a clerical error and that they are now working to reverse it. House rules explicitly prohibit spending taxpayer dollars on speech writing consultants. Okay. Also, there's one other possible violation, as Politico reports. A private company installed a television studio in Gaetz's father's home in Niceville, Florida, which Gaetz uses when he makes television appearances. Taxpayers foot the bill to rent the television camera, and the company, the private company that built the studio, which Gaetz refuses to identify, takes a fee each time he appears on air. Now listen, we have few resources here at TYT. We've been doing this show remotely because of the pandemic. And guess what? I don't pay anyone a fee to appear on this show. I don't pay a fee for the camera. I don't pay a fee to the LLC. Once you're set up and you're ready to go, you're ready to go. So he's being very opaque when it comes to what this LLC is. So if an investigation finds that he's actually using this as a way to pay himself or to pay his father, that's a huge issue.
Yeah. And you guys have seen some of the issues that we've had as we've been doing it from home. TYT.com/go. Look on Matt Gaetz. So first of all, why didn't you just hire the guy if you want him to be your writer? You're allowed to do that as a congressman. They have to be an employee, and they can help you with all the things that you're working on, whether it's writing bills, which Gaetz almost never does, or writing speeches. So it's kind of a curious thing. It's almost like he wanted to funnel him money because they're like, oh, you got fired by Trump for being a white supremacist? Here, let me give you a contract on the side so you're okay. It's a very curious thing to do. And of course, he did it not with his money, but with taxpayer money. So that's the problem there. You know, the Democrats investigate this stuff only if they themselves don't do it. And so I don't know if they've been dragging their feet on this because they're like, okay, how many of you guys do this? Oh, you do it, you do it, you do it. Nah, let's like Gaetz get away with it. So I don't know. The Democrats don't do it to white supremacists, but do they have other consultants that they pay with taxpayer money? We don't know. So I hope that they investigate it fully. All right, guys, postgame is going to be amazing. Joe Rogan actually busts Ben Shapiro, and Donald Trump busts himself. If you have not seen his answers to the cognitive test, it is hilarious. TYT.com/join or hit the join button below if you're watching on YouTube. We'll see you there in a minute.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.